Thank you. All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to First Works Baptist Church. Let's all take our seats. As you find your seat, go ahead and grab a hymnal. Turn to song number 43. Song number 43, we're marching to Zion. Let's all stand together for this first song, if you're able. Song number 43, Come We That Love the Lord. There in your hymnals, nice and strong on that first verse.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion.
Great singing. Thank you for being here this evening. Have a treat. I'm not preaching tonight. Why are you happy about that? Brother Maury is going to be preaching tonight. He's actually preaching part two of Lies That Disney Taught Us. So don't get offended, all right? Especially you girls out there, you know, with your princesses and stuff like that, all right? I'm just joking. What do you mean, dang? Damien, man, what in the world? This guy... All right, let's pray. We'll get started. Father, we thank you so much for a wonderful day, Lord. Thank you so much for church, for the singing, and thank you for all the souls that were saved, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd be with us throughout the service. Bless the preaching. I pray you fill Brother Maury with your spirit and your power, Lord. May you use him in a great way to be a blessing to the congregation, to edify them, Lord. And I pray you bless the singing, the fellowship, and all the rest to follow. We love you and we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Song number 63 in your songbooks. Song number 63, What a Day That Will Be.
Song number 63, What a Day That Will Be. All together on that first verse.
There is coming a day when a heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. My Jesus, I shall see.
singing. Just a few announcements here before we sing our next song, which will be song number 41, Sweet By and By, song number 41, if you want to get that ready in your songbooks. Our services are as follows. Sunday morning is at 10:30, Sunday evening, 5 p.m. And, of course, our Thursday night Bible study is at 7 o'clock, and we are currently going through the book of Malachi. We'll actually be finishing up the book of Malachi this coming Thursday. And today was Caramel Apple Sunday. I hope you got your fill of caramel apples there. And, of course, Lorena's baby shower was today. I heard everything went well with that. Saturday, October 16th, this coming Saturday, is Alex and Tamara's wedding at 2 p.m., correct? If you have any questions about that, you can see Brother Alex. Congratulations in advance to him. Happy for him. And then Sunday, October 17th, is the Apple Cider Fellowship after the Sunday night service. Ladies' prayer meeting is coming up on Friday, October 29th. That will be here at the building. And anytime there's a prayer meeting for the ladies or the men, we always provide dinner, so just keep that in mind. And then on the left there, you see the schedule to the fall program. The 24th is the state contest. 29th through the 31st, that weekend is basically almost kind of dedicated to the teenagers of our church. We're having a teen bowling activity with Pastor on Friday the 29th. And then on Sunday night after church, we're going to have another teen activity to Cold Stones. And so all teens are welcome to come to that. Of course, your parents are welcome to come to that. We want them to come. So just keep that in mind. Looking forward to that. November 7th is the pie baking contest. And we conclude the fall program on the 23rd of November with the annual Thanksgiving banquet. Invite your family and friends. Let them know that we're not always dressed like this, okay? Because we're going to be in the 1800 style, you know. We're not like Amish or something like that. It's just a theme that we have for the banquet. And then, of course, you see the point system there. I won't go over that. I've rehashed that many times. I'll do that next week. Let me just say this, actually. If for some reason you're out of town, because someone asked about this, if you're out of town, you're going to a different church, it counts, okay? What I said doesn't count is if you do three services here and you want to like double up on some points, so you go to like another church service at a different church, that doesn't count. But if you can't, if you're not here on Sunday because you're out of town, but you go to like one of the churches that, you know, that are associated with us, or even just an old IFB church, whatever it may be, and you go to both services, then you can count that as points, okay? And then, of course, we're filling out the sheets every week, but if you're not here, you can basically fill that out the following week, and we'll accept that. Just make sure that you're honest about your points, right? We heard a sermon this morning about integrity, right? We want to get the right thing, you know, the right way, okay? And so no cheating, no Jacobs in here. Right, we got enough Jacobs in the church. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No supplanters, okay? All right, so you see that there. And then, as I mentioned this morning, Christmas program practices will begin on October 17th. Parents, if you have any questions, you can see my wife about that. And then we need help with the Thanksgiving dinner. If you'd like to sign up to get involved, please see the sign-up sheet in the back and sign up there to help out with that. And then the last announcement is we're going to have Singspiration tonight after church. And so is that immediately after the service? Should we not greet each other at all, just head to the piano or what? Yes, okay. You can say hi to each other, right? We're going to go to the piano. Whoever wants to be involved, we're just going to do a Singspiration. Basically, you choose a favorite, and then we'll all sing that together around the piano, okay? And so I'm looking forward to that. And then there's one last thing. Was there something else? I forgot. Oh, well. All right, let's take some soul winning numbers from this past week up until this afternoon. Salvations from Monday. We had the conference, but any salvations from Monday to Thursday here in this area? Anybody? Okay, how about Friday and Saturday? Friday and Saturday? Three? Five for Brother Glenn's team? Four for Cody at Riverside. Anybody else? How about this afternoon? This afternoon? Four for Brother Maury's team, Brother Mark's team? Two. Brother Marcus's team? Three. Anybody else? Who's counting Hike's team? Where's Brother Hike? Adam. Two. All right, cool. All right, two for Brother Hike's team. Anybody else? Okay, keep up the great work on soul winning. Let's go ahead and sing our next song. Song number 41, Sweet By and By. Song number 41 in your songbooks. I'm going to sing this one. Song number 41. All together on that first verse. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet.
shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
That last
to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hollow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Great singing. At this time, the ushers are going to take the offering. And go ahead and open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11.
Good evening. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, and the Bible reads, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But thou know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for this church, Lord, and the King James Bible, Lord. We pray right now that you bless Brother Maury as he preaches your word, and just fill him with the Spirit, give him boldness, and bless this service, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. So we're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look down at verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee Cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Last week, I preached a sermon entitled Lies That Disney Taught Us, which is where I went over just some concepts that go directly against what the Bible teaches. And as Pastor Mihir already said, my sermon tonight is actually called Lies That Disney Taught Us Part 2. You know, tonight, I just want to talk about some lies that I wasn't able to put in there last time. And, you know, the brethren, you know, they came after the sermon, and they were just like, hey, brother, you forgot this lie, or you forgot this lie. And I was just like, okay, well, look, I had another opportunity, so I was like, let me just preach it. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. And so the Bible tells us that, you know, in our understanding, we shouldn't be like a child. We should have understanding of men. We should have a mature mind when it comes to the things that we put in front of our eyes. So as I said, this is just a continuation from that sermon. And there's some other points that I wanted to address that I didn't address in that last sermon. So first and foremost, I want to get straight into it. First and foremost, the first lie is that parents are always wrong or oppressive, or they're just overprotective. Turn your Bibles to Exodus 20, verse 12. You know, in these movies, the children in the movies, they believe, you know, they just think that their parents are just trying to hold them down. They just want to stop them from living, that basically their parents are just trying to stop them from living the best version of themselves. And I do want to say, when it comes to protectiveness, there's nothing wrong with being protective as it pertains to your children. Because here's the thing, the reality is we need to protect our children. We need to protect them emotionally, physically, and when it comes to just certain things that our children see, I don't want my children to see those things. I don't want my children to see certain things. When we were being protested by the sodomites, they wanted to do a drag show. And why? They wanted us to puke. They wanted to defile the minds of our children. And look, I would have protected my eyes if that happened. But thank God it didn't happen. The first lie is that parents are always wrong or oppressive or just overprotective. So the Bible teaches us that we need to obey our parents. And, you know, and this is a concept that's in the Bible that we need to adhere to. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, today's culture, this is something that's lost in today's culture. We're full of disrespect. And when I say we, I mean just our culture as a whole. You know, our culture as a whole is just full of disrespect, where, you know, kids just disrespect their parents. They speak all manner of evil against their parents. And where are they getting this from? They're getting from the movies. They're getting from social media. They're getting from the new social norms and the different movies of today. And this has been affecting our culture negatively. Yeah. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And realize it says in the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is something that we need to be doing. We need to obey our parents, young person. We need to obey our parents. We need to obey our mom. We need to listen to what our mom says, what our dad says. And let's say you don't have children. Well, you need to start obeying your parents if you're living under the house. If you're living under their house, you need to obey what your parents are telling you to do. Right. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, these Disney movies, it becomes as though I've come to the realization that it's come to the point where it's just normal for the main character to just start disrespecting their parents or to go against what their parents say. You know, the parents say, hey, don't go here, and they go there, right? And they're just outright disobedience to their parents. And it's just become the point of where this is just the normal for Disney movies. And what are they teaching our children? It's okay to disobey your parents because they don't understand you. Because they don't understand what it's like to be a child in whatever year. So the Bible says that children, they need to obey their parents. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 30, verse 11. And the reason why we should obey our parents isn't necessarily just because there's a promise that's attached to honoring your mother and father. Not only is it that, but just realize that your parents have something that you just can't buy, which is experience. Your parents have experience. Your mom has experience. Your dad has experience. And we need to take their experience from them and say, hey, maybe they're telling me to do something because it's good for me. Maybe what they're saying is something that I should actually adhere to. You're there at Proverbs 30, verse 11. You know, one thing that they say, oh, you don't know my mom, you know. You don't know my dad. My mom, you know, she doesn't know the things of the Lord. She's not new IFB. She's pre-trib. You know, I'm so sorry. I didn't catch that. It said, what did it say? It said, honor thy father and thy mother if they're new IFB. And, it doesn't say that. It says, honor thy mother and father. So you need to adhere to what your parents are saying. You need to listen to them. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Now, is this not talking about today? Is this not talking about the current status of America? Our kids, they disobey their parents. They don't listen to their parents. They curse their father. They don't bless their mother. You know, things are just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse as things progress. And realize when it comes to marriage, you know, you want a child that respects their father. You want a child that respects their mother. You know, I mean, when it comes to a woman, when you're looking for a husband, the way that the potential guy that you want to be, how does he treat his mom? Because guess what? You're going to inherit all those blessings. You're going to inherit all of it. How does a young lady treat her father? Well, or excuse me, how is a young lady going to treat you? Well, let's just look at how she treats her father. So if she treats her father like gold, guess what she's going to treat you like? Gold. And if she treats her father like coal, guess what? You're going to be treated like coal. You know, God doesn't take lightly when you disobey your parents. God does not take lightly. It's not like, oh, it's just okay. You know, I have the rule in the Bible, but, you know, it's all good. You know, if you just don't obey, it's not a big deal. No, God takes it heavily. This is important to God. Because, look, if you can't obey your mom and dad who's taking care of you your whole life, how are you going to obey God? God does not take this lightly. Did I have you turn to Deuteronomy 21? Deuteronomy 21:18. Turn to Deuteronomy 21:18. I'm going to read Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, here's the thing. I can't tell you that this is actually going to happen to you, young person, if you disobey your parents. But here's the thing. It's there. And what this also tells me is the fact that, hey, look, you're going to get what's coming to you. If you don't want to obey your parents, if you don't want to adhere to what the Bible says, you're going to get what's coming to you. Your eyes might just get plucked out. And this tells me that, hey, the day is coming for someone. For someone that's doing that, guess what could happen as a punishment from God? If you don't want to obey your mom, you know, you might get a wife that doesn't obey you. You know, if you don't want to obey your dad, young lady, guess what? Your husband is going to treat you like dirt. You know, there's a death penalty for disobeying your parents. Oh, you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his mother, or the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Oh, you really believe that? Yes. I really believe that. I really believe God's word. I'm sorry you don't. I really believe that this is something that takes place. Now, it may not be recorded, but I believe at some point this took place. I believe that this took place, and, you know, they're like, oh, that's cruel. I can't believe you would do that. You think it's okay for people to do that to your children? I mean, is it in the Bible? Is this the Bible? Wait, hold on, let me check real quick. Yep, King James. Yep, it's in the Bible. So that means I believe it. I believe what's in the Bible. And you know what? And guess what? If this rule was implemented, the reality is that we would have less disobedience in America. We wouldn't have, what's the city called that's in Seattle? Is it Chaz? Is that still a thing? It's not a thing anymore? Okay, there's a city
Portland.
Portland. That wouldn't exist. It wouldn't exist if there was this penalty that there was repercussions for disobeying your parents. You know, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29:15. That would not be a thing if that was the case. You know, and you know, when it comes to, you know, this law, you know, I believe it with the bottom of my heart that, hey, look, when it comes to how we address our children, and you know, oh, sorry, that's what I was gonna say. Realize that making this decision to get rid of your child or to have the elders go to your child isn't something that comes lightly. For those of us who have children, this is not something that we're just like, oh, okay, well, you know, you're disobeying, I'm gonna bring you up to the elders. This is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. If you don't have children, you may not understand. But the reality is, look, I have three daughters. And guess what? I don't want to kill them. I don't know if you knew that. I don't want to kill. I want my children to live. You know, sometimes people think that they love their child so much that I'm just not even going to spank them. You know, for a person that's like that, just to come to the conclusion of, hey, my child is so disobedient, I'm going to kill them. This is not something that comes lightly. This is something that's I believe what these children that are potentially getting killed are reprobates, you know? And you're like, oh, but that's cool. How can you kill another human being? Well, I mean, are you like condemning Jesus Christ? Are you condemning Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, hey, some people just deserve to be killed. Amen. Luke 17:1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him, though whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So, hey, look, it's actually a good thing for, you know, if you're offending little people, if you're doing mischief, it would be better for some people for them to just not be alive. Yep. It would be better for them to just not be alive. You're there, Proverbs 29:15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. You know, the Bible is telling us that, you know, a child that's left to himself, that when you're not correcting your child, yes, we're going to get Seattle. We're going to get Chaz. You know, how do we fix this issue? Well, we have to start spanking our children. It says the rod and reproof give wisdom. Your child is going to learn very quickly. See, if we want God's favor in our life, if we want to have his blessing in our life, we need to follow the word of God. We need to adhere to what the Bible says. And God doesn't take this sin lightly. You know, we don't need to look to the word of Disney. You know, we don't need to look at the holy book of Disney, the holy book of Walt. You know, and is there any question at the state that we're in today where we're just looking at how vile our country is? Is there any question why this is so? Tonight we're talking about lies Disney taught us. This is more lies that Disney taught us. Part two. The first lie is that, you know, that parents are always trying to be oppressive or overly protective and things like that. The second lie is that being a drunkard is cool. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 1:13. Drinking is a sin, and there's movies that promote this. Pinocchio and Pirates of the Caribbean. There's this man that's just like effeminate, and he's just constantly drinking, or at least he appears as though he's just drunk. You know, and drinking is a sin, and the Bible condemns it. And Disney wants to desensitize our children so that, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with drinking. They're planting the seed in your mind, obviously not our minds, but they're planting the seed in a child's mind that, hey, when they get of age, hey, you know, so-and-so did it back in the movies that I watch. You know, we plant seeds when we go soul winning. Yeah. We want to get people saved. They plant seeds to defile the children. Yeah. The Bible talks extensively about this topic, and let's look at what it says right here. 1 Samuel 1:13, it says, now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. You know, last time I checked, the Bible tells me that I'm a child of God. The Bible tells me I'm a child of God. I'm the child of the crucified one. Amen. And what does it say when it comes to like drinking? It says the daughter of Belial. That means you're the child of Satan. This is not something that we need to consume. This is not something that we need to look at these characters and say, hey, you know, this is a good character to be like. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 31:6. Proverbs 31:6. I'm going to read Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says that, you know, if you're deceived by wine, if you're deceived by, you know, by strong drink, that you're not wise. What does that mean? That means you're dumb, you're stupid, you're an idiot. That's what that means. I'm going to give it to you in 2021. You're stupid, you're a dummy, you're an idiot. You're not smart. You're void of understanding. Proverbs 31, verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Look, when it comes to strong drink, when it comes to alcohol, look, the people that want to drink it are those that are ready to die. This is what the Bible says. People who drink, they want to die. They're ready to perish. And so when we look at people online and we look at the social media, they're living it up. They're living the best version of themselves. You know, it's so great. It's so great. And you know what? When they turn the camera off, you know, they're miserable. You know, they are ready to die. They are ready to perish. They want to drink their misery away. Is basically what they want. They want to drink their misery away. Turn your Bibles to Habakkuk 2:15. Isaiah 5:22. I'm going to read that as you guys turn into Habakkuk 2:15. It says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. See, don't look at these drunkards on these movies. Don't look at these strong men. Don't look at these mighty and just say, oh, wow, look at them. They're so cool. They're puking their brains out. They're so cool. Look at their Instagram story. Don't look at them. Look, Disney is lying to you. Disney is deceiving you. They're telling you things that tickle your ears. Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto them that give drink. Or woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. You see, Disney is trying to spiritually make our, you know, spiritually look at our nakedness, you know, and they're planting the seed that, hey, you can drink, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, a little wine for thy stomach's sake, right? A little wine for, you know, a little some. You know, they're trying to spiritually see our nakedness. And you know what? Overall, it's a success. Because if you look at the average, 20-year-old's social media, you see nakedness, you see drinking, you see all manner of evil on their Instagram stories. Success. Check. They're planting that seed, and it's been successful. We're talking about lies that Disney taught us. Lie number three. Is they create this false narrative, or they create this straw man where, you know, you have to choose between dark magic versus light magic, or the good magic versus the bad magic. And they have movies like Aladdin where you got the genie, and then I forget what the other guy's name is, but that other guy that, huh? Aladdin? What did I say? I didn't say Aladdin. Aladdin, yeah, Aladdin. That's him right there. That's get out of here. Aladdin, then there's this genie, and then there's the other guy. There's the genie and the other guy, and basically, you know, they're like, oh, what, the genie's the good magic, and the other villain's the bad magic. Or you have, like, Frozen, where, you know, like, Elsa, she's the good one, you know? Don't even let me start talking about that whore. No.
That's right.
All right, turn your Bibles to Leviticus 19:31. They're trying to get us to be on one side of the fence. You know, are you for the dark side or for the light side? Exodus 22:18. It says, Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Yep. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Wait, which side are you on? The dark side or the light side? The one where they don't live. That's the side I'm on. Leviticus 19:31 says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You know, hold on. I missed it. It doesn't say like, oh, hey, you know, choose between one or the other. It just says, hey, look, don't have them with you. Hey, don't suffer a witch to live. You know, they get this narrative where, you know, it's good magic versus bad magic. But the only magic that the Bible actually talks about is the one where the witch or the wizard gets put to death. Amen. Or put out of the land. Yeah. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 18:14. I'm going to start at verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a counselor with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of time and unto diviners. But for as thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. You know, are you for the dark side or the light side? I'm from the side that puts them to death. Yeah. Are you for the dark side or the light side? Neither. I'm on the side that puts them to death. You know, he create this straw man argument. And you know, what God is telling them is that, hey, you know, hey, look, this is what he's bringing them out of Egypt. And he's saying, look, this is what these people are doing. You, my people, don't be like them. You want to be like them. You want to be over here. You don't want to be like them. You want to be different. Set apart. Lies that Disney taught us. Lie number 4, that bestiality isn't wrong if it's for love. That bestiality, it's not that bad. Come on, guys. Right? Come on. That bestiality isn't wrong if it's for love. If it's for love. You know, they have movies like The Beauty and the Beast. They have movies like Princess and the Frog where, you know, it makes it cute. You know? Oh, you just kiss a little frog and you're going to get your true love kiss and it's going to be great and you're going to have a husband. Everything's going to be great. The beast just wants to find somebody to love him. They code it cute. They code it cute. Turn your Bibles to Romans 1:26. Leviticus 18:23. I'm going to have you guys go to Leviticus 1:26. I'm going to read Leviticus 18:23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You know, do people really do this? Yes. It's disgusting. You know, yes, people do this. Look, God doesn't make rules for no reason. He has a book full of words. And guess what? These words have a purpose. And guess what? If he's saying, hey, don't lie with a beast, that means that people are lying with beasts. Am I like reading too much into the text? It's saying that people, look, he's saying, don't do this. So, you know, this is what the nations are doing around them. No, oh, you know, how could they do such a thing? Romans 1:26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know, how can they do this? Because they're filthy? Because they're dirty? Because they're nasty? Because they're disgusting? Because they're freaks? Because they're a beast? They're disgusting. Yes, they'll do anything with anything. Skip down to verse 32. Romans 1:32. It says, who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do that. Look, Disney finds it great that you think it's cute to kiss a frog. Disney finds it cute that, hey, I want to find me a big old burly beast and kiss them. Maybe he's going to turn into a human. They find it cute. And guess what? In the Bible, when it talks about, you know, bestiality lying with an animal, in Leviticus 20, it says, hey, look, the man that does it and the beast, they need to be put to death. Oh, but you can evangelize to them. You can change them. You can rehabilitate them. You can rehabilitate them. Can I get some water? Can somebody give me water, please? You can rehabilitate them. It's great. The Bible says you need to put the man and the beast to death. The Bible says you need to put the woman and the beast to death. Talking about lies that Disney taught us. The last lie that I have here is that, you know, people desire to stay a kid as long as possible. That people desire to be a kid as long as possible. You know, and what, obviously, when I said that, most people thought of Peter Pan. You know, Neverland, right? You know, people desire to be a kid forever. And, you know, it's a state that we're in today. Thank you. My water dropped. Sorry about that, Pastor. It's a state where people just don't want to grow up. They don't want responsibilities. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to work. They don't want to pay for their bills. They don't want to take care of family. They don't want to do anything. Yeah, right. All they want to do is just stay at home, play video games, you know. Hey, look, I get money. Look, right now in the times we're in, we get money. We get that money, guys. We get money for staying at home. Some people get paid more to stay at home than to go back to work. You know, there's this thing called Peter Pan syndrome. Peter Pan syndrome. It's a state where adults with Peter Pan syndrome, also sometimes called failure to launch syndrome, avoid the personal and professional responsibilities of adulthood. They're just the individuals who really don't want to grow up, and they find adult responsibility truly challenging. It's really hard to be an adult. It's really hard to get responsibility, professional and personal. You know, here's the thing. The reality is that, hey, look, hunger is a great motivator. Hunger is a great motivator to get somebody to get out of bed. You know, and for these people, we don't need to be tailor-making life for them. Like, oh, it's okay. You know, you got a mental health disease. It's all good. You know, there's nothing wrong. You're like, we'll take care of you. We'll pay for all your bills. We'll do anything that you need. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, I'll read it. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So, look, working is a prerequisite to being a Christian. If you want to eat, look, if you want to eat, you need to work. You need to work. You know, and if you have Peter Pan syndrome, what does that mean? That means you need to grow up. Amen. You need to grow up. And here, I'm getting ahead of myself. Turn to Proverbs 24:30. I'll read 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Proverbs 24:30 says, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Look, we need to work with our own hands. We need to do our own business. We need to provide for our families. If you're a man, you need to provide for yourself in general, you know, so that you can take care of a family and get married in the future. Don't feed them. Don't feel bad for them. Don't feel bad for these people. Proverbs 24:30, it says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Look, the slothful, they're not taking care of their responsibility. When you come to their house, they look, it's dirty. They don't accept responsibility. We don't need to tailor make the life for them. We need to just say, hey, if you don't want to work, okay, you're not going to eat. We're not going to give you any handouts. So how does Peter Pan syndrome happen? How do people get diagnosed with this? It says, psychoanalysts You know, they always are looking for the connection to our childhood. Obviously, it's when you were a child. You know, obviously, it's when you were a child. This is when it all took place, you know. And it says a bit of a snapshot is, of course, we go back to what was modeled by our parents. And so they have three reasons why they believe that Peter Pan syndrome happens. One, you have helicopter parents where they just don't allow you to make any decisions, or they're always hovering over you, so you never get a chance to grow up. The second way, or another way to call it, is just controlling parents or snowball parents, where they're just like running over you as a child. The second way is that you're in an abusive or neglectful house where you were always shut down, and again, you never learn how to be an adult. Then the last way is by having emotional or economic hardship where you never learn how to handle money, relationships, the ideal of staying in a state where that stuff doesn't matter much can be appealing. And they say, this is how they ended. They say, at the end of the day, it all comes down to what you learn as a kid and what your parents or your guardians model for you. And you know what? This is enabling, you know, this victim state, this victim mentality, you know, oh, look at me, I'm black. You, because of slavery, I can't work. Yeah, I said it. Because of slavery, I can't work. Stupid. Look, I have a job. I work. Amen. I have a job. I work very hard. Amen. And guess what? Last time someone at the job said something about being black, it never happened. It doesn't happen, especially in the medical field. Amen. This victim mentality, oh, because of slavery, I can't get a job. Oh, because of slavery, I can't do this. Oh, because of the oppression, it's so hard for us. We can't do anything. I'm doing well. Yep. I'm doing well. Yep. Right? They're like, oh, you Uncle Tom? Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that mental health issues don't exist. You know, depression, anxiety, et cetera, things like that, you know, these happen. And, you know, when it comes to these type of things that present themselves, hey, we need to go to the Word of God to learn how to handle this. And, you know, when it comes to, turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 19:3. When it comes to Peter Pan syndrome, I believe it stems a little bit from depression. You know, what's happened to you in the past? You know, I believe that it stems a little bit from depression. And, you know, and yes, depression even happens to believers. Yeah. Depression happens to everybody. Yeah. We're going to go into an example of a person that was depressed and how he got out of it. There's someone who was depressed and he got out of it. 1 Kings 19:3. Now, what happened before this? Elijah just had the spiritual high of his life. He just destroyed the prophets of Belial, the prophets of Satan, and basically he finds out that hey, they're searching for his life. 1 Kings 19:3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now, first, let me just stop there. The Bible says that he left his servant there. Now, one of the worst things that you want to do when it comes to depression is you want to be alone. You want to seclude yourself. You don't want to seclude yourself, especially when you're in a state of depression. You don't want to leave yourself alone. You don't want to be by yourself. Verse 4, it says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. So he's saying, hey, he's at the lowest state. God, please just kill me. Please, God, kill me. Take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Skip down to verse 8. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Verse 9. And he came thither into the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Skip down to verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Israel. So when God, look, he's what we would say, he's depressed, right? God doesn't say, hey, tell me about your childhood. You know, come sit on this rock right here. Come tell me about how your relationship with your parents are. Tell me about, you know, how did your parents scar you? No, first and foremost, he tells them to get up and eat. So when we're depressed, what we need to do is we need to get up and eat. Meat preferably. Amen. We need to get up and eat some meat.
Yeah. Yep.
No soy for us. Amen. Next, in verse 15, he says, go anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So what is he telling me? He's telling them to go do something. Don't just sit in your wallow, sit in your agony and your pain. Hey, go do something. Yeah. Go do something with your life. And then verse 16, it says, and so let me go back to 15 at the end. It says, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimaholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So first he tells them to get up and eat. He tells them to get up and eat. Then he tells them to do something that specifically does not involve himself. Then he tells them to invest in someone else. So how does this relate to us today? Well, you know, obviously we can get up and eat, but do something that doesn't involve yourself. I don't know. Maybe you can go soul winning. You can get your mind off of your depression. Say, hey, how about you make your worst day someone's best day in their life?
That's right.
How about you go get somebody saved? Amen. Guess what? Your problems that you have, they're going to go away. Your problems are going to go straight away. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about, you know, how you're thinking. Look, there's so many times that I come to church here, and I'm distraught about something that happened at work. I'm distraught about something that I saw. I'm distraught about something that happened to me. And you know what? I don't even tell the brethren what's going on. But just talking with them, being with them, causes it to just leave my mind.
Amen.
And that's the blessing of church. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, going soul winning, yeah, go get people saved. And it's going to get your mind off of it. You're going to realize you're going to change someone's life forever.
Yeah.
And it's going to make your problem, you know, go away.
Amen.
It's going to go straight away. Elisha was in his stead. Elisha was the next person that came up, that came after him. That's what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to invest in someone else. So what do? We invest. Look, there's young people in church. If you're older, you know, you can invest in these children. Sometimes people just want someone to think highly of them. And you can invest in people. When you're depressed, there's things that you need to do to get out of the state of depression. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14:20. I'll close it off here. 1 Corinthians 14:20. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, let us be privy to Satan's devices. We need to understand that, hey, look, we're in a warfare. You know, Satan's going to throw anything he has at you. You know, he's going to throw everything and the kitchen sink and the baby and all that stuff. He's going to throw everything at you. And, you know, look, sometimes you're going to be able to fight it. And sometimes you just got to stand. When it comes to your children, you got to fight it. You need to hit, you know, block that stuff. Get it out of there. Let's be privy to the devices of the devil. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Look, we need to have an understanding like, hey, this world isn't like a great world. We need to understand that, hey, this world is a battleground, and we need to fight, and we need to understand that, hey, look, this battle that we're in is a spiritual battle. We've went over two sermons where we just talk about lie after lie after lie after lie that Disney is doing. We need to be privy to the devices that Satan has. And, you know, like I said, he's going to attack your family. He's going to attack your wife. He's going to attack your pastor. He's going to attack your pastor's wife. Attack your pastor's children. And you know what? What Pastor Mejia has to do is he has to just stand sometimes. And what do we need to do? We need to just stand sometimes. Don't break rank. Just take it the way that it comes. And when it comes to Disney and things like that, you know, hey, look, we can actually go on the offense and just take it away, actually. We don't have to just stand there just like, oh, Brother Maury, I mean, the TV just turned on and I'm enduring. You know, you got the little shield, the buckler. Gio knows about that. And realize that the attack that Satan does on you isn't going to be forever. It isn't going to be forever. Guess how long we spent battling with the Sodomites? It wasn't very long, right? It stopped. Yes, they may believe that they have won. But guess what? They lost. They're losers. They're not winners. They're dumb. They think that they won, but guess what? I see a building full of people that want to hear the word. I see a building full of people. Guess what? We won. And just like when it comes to Satan, we will win. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What I'm telling you tonight is we need to resist the devil and resist all of his attacks. And he's going to come with many. And, you know, I already believe that this church is a great church. I believe that this church, you know, they're going to stand against all of the wicked devices that Satan's going to bring to it. But sometimes it's just great to just get a reminder. It's great to get a reminder, hey, stand when it comes to this. Yeah, you're going to get beat down. Yeah, you're going to get emotionally broken. You're going to get beat up sometimes, but guess what? All you got to do is stand. Life sucks sometimes, but guess what? It's gonna be 20 times better when we're in heaven with God. And think about all the people you could bring with you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to go through your word. And Lord, I pray that that I get into the hearts of the people, or more specifically, your word gets into the heart of the people and see that, hey, look, there's a lot of wicked devices that are being taught through Disney. And Lord, I just pray that we were edified by the message. And Lord, just thank you for your word, and thank you for our church here. And Lord, pray that we can continue doing a great work for you, Lord. I pray this in Evelyn's name. Amen.
Please turn your songbooks to song number 175. Song number 175, It's Just Like His Great Love. Song number 175, all together on that first verse.
A friend I have.